Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums, Nicole,
Kristen,
and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on the journey of self-discovery. Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hey.
Welcome back.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about clairsentience.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to start off by defining it, talk about the benefits of it, explain to you how to recognize it within yourself, and even how to develop it.
Mm-hmm. So clairsentience is a psychic ability mm-hmm. where you have feeling or sensing of information without any logical or sensory basis. So there is no physical object being or person that touched you. Mm-hmm. So that would be the touching part. But it's also about feeling where you might have emotions. You might feel emotions that don't belong to you.
Right.
You could be picking up emotions of a spirit, of a person. And sometimes it can be also described as having really strong gut feelings or being super, super empathic with people. Just you feel what they feel on such a deep level.
Right. Like Kristen said, clairsentient people can sense emotions, energies, and the vibrations from not only people, places, and spiritual entities, but also situations. And this can give them insights and understanding that go beyond what everybody else can perceive through their usual five senses.
Yeah. So it's just almost like claircognizance, where you have that gut feeling that you feel. You also can experience sudden and intense feelings and or physical sensation, like a tapping on the shoulder or ears are being pulled, because I get that.
Gee, should we tell them where you just felt like someone touched you like
my,
2 minutes ago?
Like my boob.
We're going there yes. today, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so.
It was when we were setting up. G said, I feel like somebody just touched my boob.
And Nicole said, groping ghost.
Groping ghost.
Well, no, I've been feeling like my hands are clammy and then all of a sudden my AC is on, but all of a sudden I feel like a little bit hot. So oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't get that. That is an example of clairsentience where mm-hmm. your physical body will react to the energy surrounding mm-hmm. you. So like that happens to me a lot when I'm doing a reading mm-hmm. and I'll start to get really, really, my body will feel hot, but I know it's not. I mean, I live in Michigan, like right now it doesn't get hot anymore.
Right.
And that can be symbolic of a very strong spiritual entity or a lot of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. actually a great way to receive that indication from spiritual energy. And it might mean something different for somebody else, right? So
Right.
Well, and that's – I get the same too. It's when there's a lot of energy or if I'm doing a reading, it's – for me, it's a feeling. My heart races. I get that physical sensation. Mm-hmm. It's like my body's first way of letting me know that there's something there. It's always that feeling.
Yeah. Isn't there like a difference between clairsentience and an empath?
Yes. So empaths will you're going into a different podcast.
I feel like it's under the umbrella though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think clairsentience is a more developed form of empathic abilities.
Right.
Right.
I think clairsentience are very empathic, mm-hmm. but they're able to translate
mm-hmm.
those feelings into a message.
A message, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And recognizing
there you go,
these
recognizing.
Feelings are somebody else's. They're mm-hmm. not mine. You know, and yeah. a lot of empaths struggle with that before they understand because they don't know where all these crazy emotions are coming from. A lot of times they think it's them, but they're just picking it up from others and they're not, nobody's taught them yet how to either protect their energy
mm-hmm.
Or clear energy, you know, or how to recognize when it's not theirs.
Right. And I think a lot of empaths are just undeveloped clairsentience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you have empathic abilities or if you feel like, you know, if anyone said, hey, I think you're an empath, there is a high likelihood that you either already have a highly developed clairsentient ability mm-hmm. or you can easily develop your clairsentient ability.
Yeah.
Yes. So next, it's important for us to go over the benefits of being clairsentient. Mm-hmm. There are definitely some advantage and positive aspects of having this ability, even though it can feel challenging at first until you kind of understand how to control it. There's so many wonderful things that come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like enhanced empathy. Clairsentience can deeply connect with other people's emotions and feelings. As long as you're able to distinguish the difference between yours and someone else's, it's a good thing to have that so that when you're connecting with friends or loved ones, you have that compassion. You have a deeper understanding of what they're going through.
Another way for benefits of clairsentience is improved relationships.
Yeah, it can help when, you know, if you and your partner are really having a hard time seeing eye to eye, it helps you empathize with their feelings or their position on something. You can kind of be a little more open-minded about it versus automatically just shutting their side out. It is very helpful for them.
Yeah, and you can also have a better understanding of the support that they might need at a certain time. And understand if they might need space, you know, because there's some people that if you get in an argument, you might just know, I feel like I need to give them a little bit of distance right now.
Yeah. Clairsentience can also be really good at decision making. And we talked a little bit about this with claircognizance too, how they're also really good at making a decision. But clairsentience, I mean, their feeling will totally come within, like, if they're going to go with this direction, if they think about going that way, they might feel sick to their stomach. But if they think about going this other direction with this decision, they might feel calm and at peace. And they might be really good at listening to that because that's their body trying to tell them, this doesn't feel right. Let's not make this decision, you know, but this does. So go that way.
Right. So another benefit of clairsentient abilities is they really help you with healing emotionally. So the way that I recognize that is when you are very in touch with your emotions, you have a better understanding of your emotions, you're more aware of your emotions, you're more understanding of what it is that you need individually. You can also sense where your emotions may be stored in your physical body. And that can be an indication of the type of healing that you need.
Yes, because the body will hold certain traumas in certain places.
Right.
So listening to that feeling, that is a wonderful tool.
So another benefit of clairsentience is sensitivity to energy. So this, you will need to understand your own energy to understand other people's energy. You can feel their presence, how they're feeling. And basically, like, say if you see someone talking on the phone and they're all yelling, I can feel that anger.
I was gonna say, I find that the sensitivity energy really helped when going into locations looking for a new house.
I would go house hunting now that I know how to use my abilities.
My husband and I have owned, I think, like 4 houses total now. And so, like, all the houses we've gone in and out of house hunting, you can, like, it could be a beautiful house and you step into that house and I'm like, no, don't even want to go inside. And the realtor would get so irritated. I said, nope. And my husband's like, okay, yeah, nope. If she's not even willing to walk into the house right now, she will never live in this house. So let's just
Something's not right. Messed up in there. Yeah.
Something else you can think about with sensitivity to energy is, like, if you're stepping into a new friend group.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're stepping into, like, a new job, or, you know, you're encountering new people or a new building or just even a new situation. Clairsentience can really tap into that intuitive feeling to, one, make the decision a little bit more easier.
Yeah.
Do I want to lean more into these friendships, or do I want to continue with this job?
Right.
You know, all those types of things. But it also helps you figure out where to focus your energy, I think.
Yeah. I just thought of something when you were talking about that. You know, I've had this with people that, you know, how you try out new friends, like you were saying, like sometimes you feel it out. You know, there'd be some people where, like, I would try to go for a walk with them. And when I'd be done with the walk, you know, we talked, they seemed fine. I would be like, just feel edgy and anxious. And I wouldn't know where it would come from. But it would be every time I would go for a walk with that person.
Right.
you know, and finally realizing, okay, this, I don't think this is me.
Right.
Like, I'm picking up on it with this person. So if we look back on everything we just talked about and all the ways that clairsentience can help you, they all really contribute to personal growth.
Yes.
And helping you navigate yourself to better navigate your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if that makes sense. And it does help you with self-discovery, because I think the more I've gotten in tune with my clairsentience, it's helped me reflect too on myself, like, okay, where are these emotions coming from? Even when they're mine. You know, before we were kind of like, well, this just pissed me off and that's it.
Right.
But now it's like, why? Where is that coming from? Why? What's, you know, what's the trigger? Because then it kind of helps, as you're reflecting on yourself, you're more empathic to someone else when they might react that kind of way. And that helps you not further continue those reactions.
So next we're going to go through some signs that you might recognize in yourself that are evidence of a developed clairsentient ability.
Yeah. When you suddenly feel something that's not even your energy, you feel any emotion and you're completely fine. That's the experience of intense emotional or sensations without apparent cause. So like, say you're just walking again, person's walking by, talking on the phone, arguing, and you feel that anger. Ooh, that's just walk away.
For me, it's the grocery store checkout line. That
like the person behind you.
Hurry up. Or the person in front, man.
In front of you.
You can't escape when you're in line because everybody's
and then you're like,
there.
You're bookended with these two different, and usually people aren't in great moods, but I'm like rocking out to some music on the way to the grocery store, bubbling up, setting the boundaries. But you're right. When you're like blocked in to a grocery line and the person in front of you is agitated because their coupons aren't clearing and the person behind you is in a hurry and your basket is full and you can easily go from this happy-go-lucky kind of energy to this like shift straight into anger. And it's not the greatest feeling, but it's good to recognize, hey, that's not mine. You can keep that over there.
Do you know what's funny is I never thought that I always thought, oh, stores don't bother me. But I feel like when we were in on our vacation, it did hit me. I'm like, oh, yeah, stores make me pretty cranky. Mm-hmm. I never thought of it because you guys experienced it. But yeah, I didn't realize it actually did bother me, but it does. Mm-hmm. I get very cranky in stores. So I also wanted to talk about how when you were saying the sudden feelings of picking up other people's energy, it's also too, and this can be kind of a not quite as strong as on the psychic side, but when you walk into a room, because a lot of people experience this, when you walk into a room and people had just had an argument, but they're totally trying to act fine, and you know, walking in there like, oh shit, something happened like 2 seconds ago.
Something went down.
What just happened?
But that's an example, and that's something a lot of people feel, but that is clairsentience, you know?
Yeah, when they say, you know, you can cut the tension.
Tension with a knife or whatever.
Yeah.
So another sign is empathic connections, and that's easily connecting with the emotions of others. And a lot of times that's with people who are close to you. Like we were saying how G would all of a sudden have a weird feeling and she knows one of us and check on us, you know? And that could be claircognizance mixing with your clairsentience, because you have a weird feeling that you feel is not yours, but you have that knowing, oh, that's Nicole's. I got to check on her, you know, or I got to check on Kristen. I mean, it could still be with strangers or whatever, but I feel like sometimes it's the people you're really close with. You're so kind of energetically connected with them that sometimes you're feeling their emotions when you're not talking to them, when you have no contact with them at all. Mm-hmm. I think that's happened with us too sometimes. You know, we'd be like, do you guys feel this way today?
Yeah.
Did you feel like this?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it can happen with people when they hear stories. Like, there's a lot of empathic people and clairsentient people that when they hear a sad story, it will make them cry, even if they don't even know the person.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't cry, but it would bother me for hours.
Yeah. And then like also they might try to fix the problem if there's a problem for somebody that they don't even know. So it doesn't always have to be people you're closely connected to. It could be someone you've never met before, mm-hmm. and you can just feel so heavy-hearted. But then mm-hmm. there's also the opposite. You can get really excited for somebody you've never even met before too. It's yeah. kind of like, you know, when you go to a wedding and maybe you're the date, you don't really know the person, the people that are getting married, but you're mm-hmm. accompanying someone who does. And you'll cry anyway because it's just such a beautiful moment. It's kind of like that, but in not such a severe situation.
Yeah, right.
And not such an obvious situation. Mm-hmm. But yes. So similar to empathic connections, energetic sensitivity. So being highly attuned to the energy and the emotions in your surroundings. So this one is one that kind of leans into, I think, a little bit of and actually it makes me want to talk about like residual energies.
That's what I was going to say.
And like what some people might consider hauntings and things like that is mm-hmm. that a lot of the time in buildings or locations or in land, mm-hmm. you can actually tune into the energy that has been sitting there or has been absorbed by that structure or by that land. And a lot of the time it's from high traffic areas like hospitals or apartment buildings or office buildings or busy cities, or it might be from traumatic, big, intense situations. And it could be negative situations, but it could also be positive situations. So right. clairsentient people can easily tap into the energy of anything that's around them, people, buildings, land, spirit. And you might not understand what it is.
Yeah.
You might want
to go back
awkward.
To, you just reminded me when you said spirit is the sudden feelings that can be from a spirit, not even yep. a person, mm-hmm. even empathic connections, which maybe that's the same as you could be feeling a spirit's energy.
Well, and a lot of these are the things that when we do readings, because all three of us have clairsentient abilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we do readings, that plays a part in how we receive messages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes it's the emotional sensation and sometimes it's physical sensations, right, G?
Yes. Physical sensation, like feeling a tap on the shoulder, or I remember when, or the tingling over the head, on your head. But I do remember when Kristen's she told us about her friend, but she had passed. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, I had a hard time breathing. So I don't know who your friend is or what happened to her. But at the time, I was like, why do I have a hard time breathing? And then you told us that she was...
She drowned.
Yeah. Yeah, she drowned in an accident. Yeah. So that can happen. The fluttering, the heart can happen also, or tugging on your toes.
Oh, yeah. Well, like for me, I get a lot of different kinds of physical sensations. I used to get too much stuff related to the passing of a spirit. So I asked them mm-hmm. to stop giving me that.
Yeah.
But when I do a reading and it's very focused on the person that I'm giving the reading to, they might give me sensations related to the person I'm giving the reading to. So I might feel like a headache, or I might yeah. feel actual pressure in a certain chakra area, and understanding mm-hmm. that that's a chakra area and a part of themselves that they need to focus on developing in order to live a more joyful life. Mm-hmm. It might be, there was someone recently as you're reading for, I was like, oh my gosh, the spirit, the soul that's coming through. I keep like just wringing my hands and I can't keep my hands still. Like I'm very fidgety with my hands. And she's like, yeah, that's absolutely him. I know mm-hmm. exactly who you're talking about. Or it might be, because I've also had the situation where I felt like everything below my knee, like my mm-hmm. calf, my ankle, my feet were swollen.
Yeah. Oh.
And I was like, okay, there's someone on the other side that had poor circulation in the lower half of their legs. And they're like, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. So there's, you know, it's not just emotional. You can definitely get the physical sensations.
Yeah, you can.
To get
yeah.
the messages from spirit, or just like if you're sitting closely, if you're clairsentient mm-hmm. or even empathic, just so you're aware, if you're sitting close to someone who is dealing with physical pain, mm-hmm. be careful.
Yeah, you'll feel mm-hmm. it.
Because you can feel that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people call it sympathetic pains.
Mm-hmm.
Clairsentient people can pick up not just emotional sensation, yeah. but physical sensation. So mm-hmm. if you're going to visit someone who's suffering in a hospital and you have very developed clairsentient abilities, do the protective bubble.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can definitely. Still give love and you can still be aware of the person's energy. You yeah. can still share like Reiki energy if that's something yeah. you want to do. but protect your energy so you're mm-hmm. not taking on those physical pains yourself.
Yeah, because I did a Reiki session with one of my clients, and he came over and I said, okay. Because I do a meditation before he came over, and he said, I explained to him, this is her first time, so I explained to him what I'm going to do, and then I told him, hey, what's wrong with your knee? And he didn't mention it. He goes, oh yeah, my knee kind of hurts. And I was like, okay, because that hurt all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me.
And you might need that. I mean, that helped you with the Reiki session because you knew like what area that he needed to focus on.
Yeah. I feel like I have that a lot, happen a lot in readings. And it's weird because I won't have a pain, mm-hmm. but it sounds so strange. I'll get a twitching. Like one time I had a weird twitch in my neck. Like you could mm-hmm. almost see it like pulsing, and it was the person was getting a biopsy in their neck. Oh. And it's like a weird muscle twitch mm-hmm. or spasm in mm-hmm. that place. Recently, and it's so funny because the last three episodes we've done on each Claire, leading up to the episode, all of a sudden that Claire is heightened. I don't know. I guess it's spirit's plan. But so usually I'll have this sensation in the reading.
Yeah.
But I have a little practice group, meet every other Thursday, and this time everybody brought a picture of a loved one for us to practice on, and I was mm-hmm. just in the kitchen making dinner, you know, that was a couple hours later, and I started to feel like I was having like a stroke, and it mm-hmm. was out of nowhere, and it freaked me out because I felt like I was going to just tip over, and I had to mm-hmm. grab the counter because my body mm-hmm. started tipping mm-hmm. like to the left, and I grabbed the counter and I was like, what the heck is going on? And then my face felt tingly and numb on the left, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I having a stroke? Like, this better be a freaking spirit. I can't be having a stroke. Mm-hmm. And like, I looked in the mirror, I did the smiles, like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not drooping. I mm-hmm. haven't lost sensation, but it was the tingling all down, and it stayed for an hour.
Yeah.
And I took a shower and I said, okay, this is a spirit. Please stop. I understand this. And it was weird because I kept going back and forth. I was like, stroke, aneurysm, stroke or aneurysm. And I remember I looked up the symptoms of both because it was freaking me out a little bit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know? Anybody would be a little freaked out. Finally stopped. And when we all practiced, and I felt like if it was one of the spirits, it was the first one we ended up doing. He had an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. The last one died of a stroke. Oh. So I was feeling them both. But they said, yeah, he just literally tipped to the left and was dead. And that's what happened. My whole body tipped to the left and I had to grab the counter. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, thank you for making my clairsentience even stronger, but I really don't like that. Please don't do that again. Didn't like it.
Yeah, I had this one reading I was driving to it. This was early on in my reading career. And uh-huh. I was driving and suddenly I felt like my lungs were being crushed.
Mm, I wouldn't like that either.
I had to pull off the side of the road and be like, okay, you need to step away. This is the reason, one of the reasons why I was like, mm-hmm. no more. Spirit, I'm drawing the line. This is my boundary. I don't want to feel how you passed. Mm-hmm. I got to the reading and as soon as I sat down, I said, is there someone on the other side for you who had fluid on their lungs and had trouble breathing because there was so much pressure on their lungs? And and she said, absolutely, he died from pneumonia. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, that's horrible. I'm sure it was not comfortable for him. And then after the reading, I was like, okay, no more. Can't do it. Can't mm-hmm. do it. Because I've started freaking out. Almost didn't go to the reading.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was like, I'm going to have to drive myself to the hospital, call 911.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun.
So I don't know if this happened with you, and this is what happened with me, and I think this is why it freaks you out. It's because the feeling comes first, mm-hmm. and I didn't get a visual. I didn't like, oh, I feel somebody here, like I usually do, or I didn't get a visual in my head of anybody. It was just the feeling.
Oh, yeah, it was just the
feeling. And then after that, the fear sets in, so you're like, well, could it be me? You know, it's mm-hmm. hard when that happens mm-hmm. to be objective.
The only way that made me think, okay, this might be spirit is because I was going to a reading.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought too, because I thought, well, we are going to practice with a lot of different people tonight. Maybe it was that. And it was. But still in the back of your mind, I'm like, I better not be having a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way too young.
By the way, if you have to question that, maybe you should actually go somewhere.
Yeah.
if it's a whole hour.
It was. But I did the check. You know, like I'm first aid certified. I know all the signs. I was like, I'm not losing sensation. But yes, if this is you, go to the hospital. Yes. Yeah. Do not wait an hour. Don't do what I did, because every minute counts with a stroke.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So another sign of clairsentient abilities, and this one I would think is one of the ones that can be frustrating for you or loved ones, is mood swings. Like experiencing huge emotional shifts based on the energy you're around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can be hard, mm-hmm. especially when you don't know where it's coming from.
And it actually can happen when you have a house full of people like me and Kristen, mm-hmm. with three kids.
Teenagers. Yes. You're like, holy crap. Don't let that come over here, please.
You've got the cranky one that's stressed out because of homework. You've got the mm-hmm. one who's excited because she's going to hang out with her girlfriends. You got the other one that's like just so exhausted because they've been working and going to school and doing all the things. It's a lot. It can be a lot, you know, and a lot of the time it's really important when you are clairsentient to spend a lot of time with getting familiar with your own energy.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you have a lot of people that live in your home, get familiar with their energy too, mm-hmm. and create boundaries. You can still have close energetic relationships with your loved ones in your home, but you do not have to absorb their energy. This is what I always tell empaths. Observe, do not absorb.
That's a good t-shirt.
That's a good yes, t-shirt.
That is a good
That's
t-shirt.
Super hard when you're in that mother role.
Oh, yeah.
Because when your kids hurt, you hurt. And that's just probably
and that's
how the
very literal.
Crumbles.
It's very literal when you're clairsentient. When they're yes. in pain, you're in pain. But yeah, mm-hmm. so just it's really good to take the time to get familiar with your own energy and those that you're around a lot. And it takes a lot of practice.
It does.
But it's totally worth it.
It's worth yes. it. Yeah.
So another common sign of clairsentient abilities is avoiding any kind of negative energy mm-hmm. or any kind of conflict. And that can be within your home, but it can also be on TV. Now, I myself do not like watching the news.
Oh, yeah.
For yep. this reason. I don't like watching any kind of movies that hit too close to home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like, I stopped watching horror movies a long, 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 long time ago.
I can't handle them.
I used to love them. Mm-hmm. But the more I developed my abilities, it's like, yeah, no, can't do that no more.
I think that you bring up a good point. And this is something I always tell people, like, you know, if they're doing mentoring, stop watching mm-hmm. scary movies. You can't. Mm-hmm. Not, especially not while you're developing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody always usually starts with some kind of fear factor anyway.
Right.
And then when you're watching stuff like that, it kind of feeds it. And it might, first off, affect how you are perceiving the energy, mm-hmm. right? And it can make your vibrations drop.
Are you saying watching scary movies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like lower your frequency? Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I feel like that's going into a different conversation. No, meaning like, no, meaning like, ooh, I can go there. We can go there. But then I was like, no, if I start going in that direction, that's a whole another yes. episode.
But, you because, know, right.
Because when you're first developing, it's very, mm-hmm. very, very, even before you start developing, if you're curious because you've had experiences, mm-hmm. Let's see, a raise of hands from the three of us. Who was watching ghost hunting shows?
My oh, hands all up. The time. Love them.
Love it.
I would not be able to sleep, but I'd watch them anyway because I'd be so interested.
So, yeah, I mean, that's hard to say when you're developing, don't watch anything too scary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was so fun to watch those. I still watch them now. And like The Haunting with Kim Russo. Or
that show's cool. That one's a good one.
Yeah, like the ghost hunting shows. Ghost Hunters, and then I think there's Ghost Adventures, and I think that one's still running.
But they're not, so Ghost Hunters and Kim Russo, I like them a lot, and Kindred Spirits was another good one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have the dramatic music, which we could do without.
Right.
But
the Ghost Adventures
they're too much.
They tended to aggravate, and they've actually calmed down.
Really?
Oh, I haven't watched them in a while.
I was on a trip recently, and it was on the TV in the hotel room, because I always leave the TV on when I'm traveling by myself. But it was on. And I was like, oh, they've really become more respectful. I think because they learned. Yeah, they educated themselves. Good. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. I think they started – because, I mean, this show has been going on for, like,
Kara and Keeley were babies because I remember that's when it started. And that was, like, what, 15 years ago?
Like, 15 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they used to always, like, purposely provoke Spirit, like, intentionally to try to get a reaction and to get something on camera.
Yeah. So is it really a negative Spirit, or are you just annoying the shit out of it and it's responding to you? Right.
Exactly. So, you know, I think they've learned a lot and matured a lot and educated themselves in a lot of different fields that related to Spirit and everything like that. So I have respect. I have respect.
Yeah. But those shows aren't the same as like a horror movie. Right. I wouldn't put them in the same
category
thing. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I will say with those shows, I wish they would take out some of the jump scare setups that they do, because I can see why they do, because let's do a legit medium show where we go through a building, it would be so silent, and you'd be like, I see a spirit over there, and the camera would like pan and there'd be nothing there,
yeah,
and it'd be a lot of us just sitting in silence, like.
We'd all be talking. There's no music. If it was the three of us, we'd be like, I'm seeing this. Does he have this color hair? Yes, he does.
Yeah. That would be so fun to do next time we get together somehow. Do like a little recording of us going through something location. And talking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd see like, you know, chicken. But
so speaking of ghost hunting and haunted locations and things like that, stay tuned, because on Halloween, October 31st, we are going to be releasing a bonus episode where we're discussing everything about ghosts, our experiences with ghosts, our understanding of ghosts. So stay tuned. But let us continue.
Yes, definitely. So we will say we're talking more horror movies that really make ghosts look scary, not these kind of ghost shows where they're hunting.
Those kind of do make ghosts look scary.
Not really. There's nothing there.
I'm going to have to send you some episodes.
Well, the ones I've watched they don't have anything there, but yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly stories.
But I will say, when I started developing, I didn't watch them for a while.
Yeah.
I stopped for a little while. And then I'm okay with it now.
I haven't watched any ghost stories, just the movies, like Insidious or...
Oh my gosh, see, I can't watch that.
I can't do that, G. See, you're going against what I just said. Well, you know what? G's like,
she's
super
not
brave.
Developing.
He has developing anymore.
She's developed.
Well, you know, she's developed. Yeah, and he has no fear. I should say, people who have some fear...
Yeah, I'm a scaredy cat. People think it's hilarious how I get scared so easily. Like, my kids will just walk into the room and I will jump and scream. I'll come around the corner and my husband will like open the door and I will jump and scream with a fist up, unfortunately. Yeah,
same. But it's maybe because we're used to being startled or always having that feeling of somebody there, because there was somebody there. Even though most people couldn't see. But yeah, G doesn't have fear. She's kind of like...
So I guess I'm going to go first.
Yeah, you're going first.
Yeah, G's going first.
Yeah, I like that idea. My hand will be on your back. So if you feel a hand on your back, that's mine.
Elbow.
Can you guys put me in the middle of the sandwich so I feel protected by both?
Oh, I was going to put you on the end.
No.
Yeah, you get the back.
I'm the biggest wimp in this group.
Okay, all right, let's get back.
I can see Kristen running away. I'm like, oh,
that's how I roll. So let me tell you this. And then
she would dip and leave us.
She would leave us. Oh, hell yeah. I'd be like, every man for themselves.
She'd push us towards it. Like, ooh,
there you go. I got the keys. Where are you going, sister?
Are you kidding? Kristen would learn how to jumpstart that car.
Right. I'm very flight or fight, man. I have escape plans always like planned out, you know, wherever I am. There's this haunted location in college, and all my friends, it's called Bunny Man's Bridge. They're like, let's go to this. And I was like, hell no, I'm not going to this. And they're like, no, come on, you got to go. So I acted like I was walking out to the car. As soon as they all turned their backs, I sprinted. I tried to run straight back to the dorm. They caught me. And they all carried me and shoved me in the car. And so when we went, I wouldn't get out of the car. I was like, I'm not getting out of the car. Mm-mm.
Good call. We have when I was in college, the next town over had an old insane asylum.
Yeah.
That they would do a haunted house in. And I think they still do it. And there was like these crazy stories of people getting pushed and scratched all my friends, let's do it. Even as an adult, like out of college, and I still live near that area. Let's do it. I was like, nope, not going to happen. Sorry, you have fun. Good luck. I'll say prayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good time.
Stay safe with my and maybe we're more sensitive to that because we are more sensitive. Like other people were like, why do you even care? Why are you worried? And I would just say, no, I don't like that. Because then you can feel more of the energy than they can. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and then plus we don't need to go anywhere to have
experience. No, we already have. We feel freaked out 90% of the time because we feel this or that behind us.
We don't need to go to a new location. Thank you, though.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Yeah. I feel like we're getting into our ghost episode now.
I think we are.
This is just a little preview.
Okay, so the last line we like to share is animal and nature connection.
Yes.
This is feeling a deep connection with animals and nature.
Yes.
I just got visited by a bird when I was taking a nap. And I woke up, I'm like, stop, I'm sleeping.
Same bird that always
comes? No, different. It's a different bird.
And you always have birds.
The morning doves?
No, not.
That's what they did that whole other episode. That's a turkey. That's what they sound like.
Sound like a turkey.
Oh geez, so showing cool. us a video of the bird. Oh, that's a cool bird.
He looks like he's looking in the window for you.
He was tapping the window and I was like, look.
He's like, wake up.
Look at my selenite. I was like, no.
I can't get past your selenite.
He's looking for you, G. It really looks like he's looking through the window for somebody.
And he's got like this like crest on the top of his head, almost like a blue jay does, but that's not a blue jay.
No.
You're gonna have to look up what that bird is. That's a pretty bird. Right. But yeah, so G is very infamous for having a lot of animals that flock to her. She's our official Snow White of our Soul on a Voyage group.
We need to see you in the dress.
I practice how to whistle now.
Surrounded by your birds. Oh, I can't whistle.
Birds, moths, cats. Don't cats just show up at your door all the time?
It does. Like 4:30 in the morning. But I think it's like because there's a tree in front of my house. So I think it's like looking at the birds. Yeah. Because I hear my Ring video. They're like, someone's in at the front door or something like that. I'm like, who's at the front door?
My God, the cat is ringing your doorbell?
Well, it
activates it.
Yeah. So weird.
So next we want to share some practical tips on developing your clairsentient abilities.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. And of course, we're definitely starting with meditation, guys. Like we do with all the other clairs. Meditation and mindfulness. You know, it's really important to regularly meditate and do practices of mindfulness to help you quiet your mind and enhance your receptivity to your intuitive feelings. This is a great way to get familiar with your own energy, your own feelings, so that you can practice discernment even more so when you're around everybody else.
Yeah. And another one is journaling.
Yes, our second favorite.
We don't want to hear you're tired of that either.
Don't forget to journal everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Document your hunches, your feelings, any kind of physical sensations you get out of the blue.
Yeah, because you know why? You're going to go look back into it and say, hey, yeah, that happened. You're not going crazy. That happened to you.
Yes.
So it's documentation. So
yeah, and then you'll get that validation later, like G with the knee pain and her client ended up having knee pain. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another thing that you can do to develop your clairsentience is doing exercises that help enhance your empathy. For an example, imagining yourself in someone else's shoes.
Right. So say you're at the beach or at the mall or somewhere public and you see a mom who is struggling with her toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Try to visualize yourself in her situation. Imagine how you might feel. So instead of getting agitated with the toddler or like irritated that the mother is not controlling her toddler, think about, I wonder how difficult her day has been. And I wonder if she's trying to figure out, how do I calm this kid down? She's probably stressing about what everybody is thinking already. She's probably mm-hmm. stressing about how can she make her child happy. She's probably stressing about all the errands that she needed to get done and can't now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then take that a step further, Nicole, and this is how it ties into helping yourself with personal growth. Then you can think, okay, well, how can I help her? How can right. I make her day a little bit better? And that's where you take the clairsentience and help you grow as a person. Right. I'm going to help her. When normally mm-hmm. you'd just be like, oh gosh, that kid's so annoying, you right. know?
Yeah. And so like you could totally help a mom in that situation just by simply saying, you're a great mom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I know that was said to me a couple times when my kids were young mm-hmm. by older moms. And I was just like, it meant so much to me, even though my kid was acting mental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. what? I went home though, and it made me feel so much better to be seen.
Mm,
to be yeah. seen as something other than a horrible mom whose toddler is having a breakdown because they didn't take a long enough nap or they need a nap now.
Or yeah. we can take that another step. And this is what I tend to do. And this whole thing where you said, imagine the mother. Sometimes I'll do this and not even meaning to. I didn't even think of this until you were using this example. Is when I see someone else's kid having a fit and I think about, okay, they're probably overtired. They're probably hungry. They may not feel well. So, you know, I kind of go that way because I know, okay, when kids are having a fit,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason why. And it's not because the mom's not disciplining them. It's not because she's this or way. Sometimes it's just the kid is having a feeling. Now, sometimes there is more to it, but sometimes it's that kind of thing. And I think, oh, what can I, what I wish I could do something to make them feel better or something. Mm. That's how I always go too. It's both of them.
Oh, okay. So you're saying don't just put yourself in the mom's shoes, put yourself in the kid's shoes.
I always
shoes
do too. It for both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because sometimes it's them.
Right. Absolutely. So another practice for you to develop your clairsentience is energy shielding. And I kind of brought that up a little bit earlier. It's really, 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 really important for you to set boundaries, energetic boundaries, physical boundaries, spiritual boundaries between yourself and any low vibrational or negative energies or situations yeah. or locations. So a great practice that I like to do is called the protective bubble. My grandmother taught it to me. I ask God or universe or source or creator, whatever the higher power you believe in, I ask that entity to send down their holy light and fill me with this golden white light. You can pick whatever color light you want, whatever makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
Fills my entire body. And then I imagine that light expanding beyond myself. I picture a bubble. Some people like an egg shape. Some people like a box. Some people like the, mm-hmm. you know, the energetic field to be the shape of their body, whatever feels most comfortable for you. But I set the intention that there is no energy, spirit, or entity that is allowed to come within that bubble of light without my permission. And as that bubble of light grows and expands, it pushes out any negative energy or frequency away from my physical body and away from my spiritual self. And that allows me to observe energy and not absorb the energy. And this mm-hmm. is a practice I share on my business website, NicoleGlosser.com, but I'll make sure to add it to Soul on a Voyage website also so that it's in our blog. But it's just called the protective bubble. And again, it doesn't have to be a bubble for you. It's whatever works best for you, whatever resonates best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever intention makes you feel the most empowered.
Right.
And trusting.
There's also actually another one that I like to share is just the shield in front of your solar plexus. Because a lot of people believe that we connect to the other people's energy through our solar plexus, which is located above your navel and below your rib cage. Mm-hmm. So I like to picture like an actual shield, like the olden days warriors and would hold in front of them. I have a friend who actually wanted to visualize a Wonder Woman corset. I had another client who chose to visualize a giant WWE, you know, the worldwide wrestling.
All the federation wrestling belts.
Belts.
Yeah.
So whatever you feel comfortable visualizing, as long as it's a, you know, a block between you and other people around you that you're not energetically connecting to those negative energies. So whatever works good for you, you know, and that's also something I share on my website, but I'll be sure to, I better make note of that. I'll be sure to add it to the Soul of Wage blog as well.
It makes sense though, because like your solar plexus is your personal power.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want something else coming in and affecting that.
Absolutely.
So the next tip for clairsentience is affirmations. So setting your affirmations, affirming it, and with these statements will develop your clairsentience. Like
a good affirmation for clairsentience would be, I am aware of my personal feelings and my own physical sensations.
Or
I am capable of I'm capable of recognizing the energy of others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or another affirmation would be my energy is not negatively affected by any energy that is outside of my own.
Yeah.
So another thing that is really important to do when you are working on your clairsentience and developing it is making sure you ground a lot. So grounding helps you to – so we're all always taking energy in.
Yep.
Grounding helps to kind of anchor it and send it into the earth also.
Yes. Yes. So you can release the energy that's not yours. Yeah.
That is not yours. And going back to visualizations, that is what I do sometimes, is when I go outside to ground and put my feet, my bare feet in the grass – I imagine sending all of the energy that does not serve me into the earth.
Right. And that could be your own energy.
Could be my energy too. So that's what I usually say. Any energy that does not serve my highest good, that doesn't belong to me and does belong to me, send it into the earth. Because there are definitely some energies sometimes in myself that I don't want.
Right.
That are mine. So I imagine sending those so it's clear. So anything that remains in my energy field, in my body, serves my highest good and helps me progress on my spiritual journey.
Yeah. Just for some clarity, when you release unwanted energies into the earth, you are not damaging the earth.
Yes.
The earth is self-purifying. Mm-hmm. It cleans the energy that you release into it and allows it to be placed in a different space in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yes. There are other grounding techniques that you can do if you're somebody who really likes to move your body, or, you know, sometimes we're always in our heads and we really need to anchor our bodies. You can do, there's certain yoga moves that are really good for grounding and kind of getting you into your body and feeling connected with it.
Uh-huh.
And then that helps you recognize your own energy also.
Right.
Like, what's a good yoga move? Mountain pose, tree pose. Those are all good grounding moves.
Right. Absolutely. I like to ground with crystals.
That too.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, working with crystals, I think, helps me a lot. Having something in my hand when I'm doing grounding techniques, I think. Sometimes just having that physical representation can kind of help anchor you in that moment.
Yeah.
And set that intention more clearly.
Can you list maybe one or two that are good for grounding? I have one in mind. Smoky quartz is a really good one.
What selenite. Do you use? You use selenite for grounding?
Yeah.
Okay. I use black obsidian, black tourmaline, and red jasper. Those are my three favorite to use with grounding. But I also, see, I could sit here and tell you like a whole bunch. Hematite is also a good one. So really any, I like the dark. The black crystals tend to be the ones that I lean towards for grounding. But red ones are also good because your root chakra is connected to your grounding, your active grounding, the active grounding.
Your root chakra is connected to your earth star chakra. Your earth star chakra is connected to your earth.
See, we're going to have to do a series on chakras, you guys.
Yes, and chakras and crystals.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, selenite's a good one. I also read, and I use it sometimes in readings, or I used to, I haven't done it in a while, clear quartz. And that's not one I think you tend to think of for grounding, but it works well for me.
Honestly, crystals are a part of the earth. So any crystal, would work.
But it's just not one of the ones like, quote unquote, are known, I think.
Right. That. I think there's some, like for me, the black ones tend to be, the black crystals tend to be the ones I'm drawn to and called to. Might be something totally different for everybody else. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be black. It doesn't have to be red. That's just something that I'm drawn to when that's the intention is for grounding. So do whatever resonates for you.
Yeah, for me, the black ones are more for protecting.
Yeah. That too. For me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Smoky quartz, I love because I think it's good for grounding, but it also kind of helps. It's supposed to really help pull out negative feelings or anxieties.
It's supposed to help with psychic abilities and intuition too, I believe.
Do you guys ever do this? You just reminded me. So when I first started doing readings, and you know, we talk about our whole prep that we do where we clear, we do all this stuff. Part of my prep, I don't do it as much anymore. I used to literally take the amethyst and stick it on my forehead before and like hold it there and say, this crystal is going to, helps open my third eye and, you know, enhance my psychic abilities. But I would literally stick it on my forehead.
Yeah, for like there's a minute. That's actually some people teach that. So that for you to intuitively do that, that's totally normal, I think. G's holding a giant.
G's got a gigantic rock.
It's like the size of an avocado or something. Or a mango.
Is that this one?
It's a
Labradorite.
Yeah, that's what we got right here. G, yours is like 10 times the size of
big as my head.
Yeah, Labradorite is a really good one for developing psychic abilities too.
Actually, it feels so good on you.
Hey, wait, we're going in the wrong direction, you guys.
It's guys, on brand.
I wish you could see
this. This is what you get with us.
Glenda's balancing a mango-sized Labradorite crystal on the top of her head, and Kristen is holding one to her third eye.
Too bad we're not videotaping this.
I should have put this on my head when I had a fever a couple of days ago.
It feels nice and cool.
Really good.
All right, so let's move on.
Okay.
So another great practical tip in developing your clairsentience is practicing mindful observation. This is one of G's favorite things to do is sit and people watch.
Yes.
But when you're sitting and people watching, pay attention to the feelings that you have associated with what you actually see with your eyes. So you see the angry person talking on the phone, see if you can feel the energetic vibration coming off of that person. Mm-hmm. If you see or hear someone laughing, see if you can get familiar with the energetic vibration. Now, again, not tapping into their energy. It's the energy that they're portraying or projecting. I'm sorry, the energy they're projecting.
Yes.
Right?
Because you're always giving off energy anyway. So you can take that portion that's coming off of them.
And yeah, because you don't want to tap into somebody's energy without their permission.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Never.
We're going to – that's
another episode we're actually going to talk about is like the ethics.
Yes.
But yeah. So sitting,
that's a no-no.
Right, sitting in a public space and observing people and paying attention to the emotions that you're able to see with your regular senses, but the emotions that you're also able to pick up with your clairsentient abilities, your clair senses.
Yeah. And another way to develop is seek guidance from mentors. Hey, like us.
Like that's us.
We can help you develop that. If you have any questions, you can always let us know.
Yeah, reach out to us on soulonavoyage.com.
Reach out and touch.
You can find all our contact information on our community website. So don't forget, you can totally email us. Let us know if you have any questions, if you want to work with any of us. All our contact info is also on there.
So another thing that you can do to help your clairsentience is energy work and chakra balancing. So I guess we touched a little bit on that with crystals, but you can get a Reiki session to help balance and clear your chakras, and that can help open up your intuitive abilities. And so Reiki is a energetic healing modality using universal life force energy. And we've said before, all three of us are certified in Reiki. One and two, right?
Yes.
Yes, we all are. And what Reiki does is it sends this healing energy to your chakras or anywhere in your body you need healing. But it's especially about balancing your chakras. If one chakra is blocked, that can lead to physical problems in the tissues and organs around it. It could also make it really hard for energy to flow from your crown chakra down into the earth, especially when we were talking about how when you ground, you're sending that extra energy down into the earth. Well, if your root chakra is super blocked, it's very hard to send that energy down, right?
Right.
You can get stuck.
And it's true in the opposite direction, too.
And it's the hard, same in the opposite
direction. It's hard to get the energy to flow from your root up to your crown. So, and the reason why this is an important practice for clairsentience is you want to make sure that your energy is clear so that you're fully aware. Your physical energy, your physical sensations, your energetic sensations. If you are not clear from your own like ailments or blockages or imbalances, it can be very difficult for you to be open and receptive to someone else's.
Yeah.
Yes. Or it can make it hard for you to get the message out of all the stuff you might be pulling in. It might be very chaotic information and it might be hard for you to extract a message, the correct message from it.
Another practical tip for developing your clairsentient ability is to join a supportive community. Talk to people who are also developing their clairsentience. Talk with people you can feel comfortable about discussing your experiences with. Find your soul tribe, right?
Yes.
Like we've said in other episodes, we are still developing our Soul on a Voyage group, and we plan to have a forum soon where we can all talk with each other. We have held events in the past, and we're currently trying to figure out the dates and topics of events that we're going to hold in the new year. So if you have any topics or events that you would love for us to host and you would love to join us, please send us an email at soulonavoyage@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you'd be interested in learning about and discussing.
Yeah. And our last tip is being patient and self-compassion to yourself. So this is with all your clairs and trying to develop your abilities. Just remember that we all have these abilities within us, ourselves. We just got to develop them.
So we really hope that you enjoyed this episode of The Spiritual Rabbit Hole about clairsentience. We shared with you the definition of it, the benefits of practicing your clairsentient abilities, signs to recognize your developed clairsentient abilities, and practical tips to help you grow in your clairsentience.
So we hope you enjoy our last episode. If not, go check it out. Episode 3 is part of our 4-part clair series and is all about claircognizance and it's clair knowing. Stay tuned to our next episode. It's a bonus episode and it will be aired on Halloween. Wow. We are talking about all things ghosts. We'll be talking about ghosts and all this stuff. So get ready for a chilling good time. Wow. Like that.
Thanks for hanging out with us once again here at The Spiritual Rabbit Hole. We would love it if you would like, subscribe, and rate our podcast. We would love it.
Love it.
Yes. Love to the fourth power is what we do. I don't even know what that is. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at soulonavoyage@gmail.com or visit our website, soulonavoyage.com, for more information on how you can work with us. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram @soulonavoyage. Peace out.
Love ya.
Bye for now.